Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Phillies and the best team to talk sports with you. Sports Radio 94 WIP, our radio.com sports station.
Welcome back, everybody. All right, I want to start this. I want to make a nomination right here.
Okay.
Our GM position is going to be opening really soon here with the Phillies. Would you agree with that?
Mm-hmm.
I would like to nominate for the position, former GM, brilliant baseball mind from MLB Network, Sirius XM Radio, Power Alley, the great Jim Duquette. Jim Duquette, our next GM. Are you accepting the position, Jim?
That is high praise. Angel, thank you for that endorsement. I will certainly take take that under advisement. I'm going to answer my question like a GM. I'm going to take that under advisement and give it serious consideration.
Well, Jim, what's going on in our town right now is that we are still talking about a news conference that happened a week ago.
Yeah.
Could you give us your opinion of how that played out a week ago when the announcement of Gabe Kapler and the three front office guys in front of the public?
Well, I would say I didn't see all of it, but I did get pieces of it. It was not the finest moment, that's for sure. There was definitely some disorganization. It was. I would say this: it leaves you at some point. It leaves you with uncertainty on the leadership there. I think we've kind of talked about this before. They have an owner that really cares about the club, but I'm not sure he necessarily knows how to go about it quite yet. So he's that part of it, I think, is also clear. And he's been, as we saw back last winter, made plenty of comments that would make you raise your eyebrows a little bit and raise, from a fan base, put an awful lot of pressure on himself, some of the things that he said. So it shot himself in the foot. There's a lot of ways you can kind of go about that. So I think that part of it was not good, didn't leave you with a good feel. I think the whole process of them deciding how and when Gabe was going to be fired, why he was fired, all that. I mean, all of that, I think, raised some concerns too. Just look at the whole process of him being let go after the coaches were let go. When having him kind of twist in the wind for, 11 or 12 days after the season was over, they still hadn't made a decision. Like, there's a lot of things, not just the press conference, but a lot of things leading up to that made you kind of scratch your head and wonder what was going on.
Hey, Jim, I want to put you sitting right where Matt Klentak was. The guy running the team is basically saying that you don't have final say on who the manager is.
Right.
You do not have a part of what your job description is. How would you have felt if you were sitting up there the way Matt Klentak was last Friday?
Well, that doesn't to get back to your introduction, it doesn't bode well for the future, if you don't turn things around. And I think this, listen, I've been in situations like Matt where the owner said that you had autonomy, but you really didn't, right? So when I was running the Orioles, we really didn't have autonomy. He made all the decisions, and it was based off of our recommendations. And sometimes the no answer was for no other reason than just because. And I don't get that sense there in Philly. I think there's still how you frame the decisions and how you frame the answers to the owner. The owner ultimately has to make the final call. But it does not look good. It doesn't put you in a very good frame of mind or position, knowing that you aren't making the final call on this. And I think people around baseball kind of recognized that, or at least felt that way. But that was apparent, after the press conference for sure.
Well, Jim, on our show, you have final say, and here are your three choices. Tell me how you would rate them. All right, because
yes,
these are the three finalists. I don't think they're interviewing anyone else. It's either going to be Buck Showalter,
right,
Joe Girardi, or Dusty Baker.
Right.
Which way would you lean?
Well, it's a good question. I like them for all different reasons. I like them all. I have familiarity with more than with most of them. I like for me, if I was making a call, I would take Joe Girardi in a close race between them all. And again, Dusty, I feel bad. Dusty's a good friend of mine. I've known Buck for a long time. But I'm trying to look at it objectively for the Philadelphia Phillies and what they need right now. Like they need, there's Joe isn't going to be warm and fuzzy in the clubhouse. I feel like you can hire a bench coach to be that guy. If you're looking for warm and fuzzy, find somebody else to do that job. Find a coach to do that. The manager has to make some tough decisions in his communication. I think Joe is a bright guy whose communication would be will be improved in the next job that he's in. You know, so the job, some of the issues that you hear in New York, and that was one of them, was his communication. He was very tight. I think that will get, that gets better the further you're away from New York, the further, you know, the year or so that he was out of baseball and on the broadcast side, you get a chance to self evaluate yourself and where you were, weaknesses and strengths wise, and I think he'll be better for that. Not that Buck wouldn't be, because I think Buck's the next choice. I'm trying to find the guy for the Phillies that is going to be the manager for the next 5 to 10 years. And I think Joe's the best fit in that regard. And, you know, he's won. He's bright. He's analytically minded. Like all, I think he touches all the boxes. And plus, he's got a relationship there back in the day with Andy McPhail, which I think would help as well.
Right. Now, you, this is kind of weird, but I'm sure you have inside information into how Buck was functioning in Baltimore because your brother Dan was the GM there for a lot of the time.
Right.
Jim, the word we got is in a lot of cases, Buck dealt directly with Peter Angelos, the owner. Would that even reduce the power of McClintock if Buck came in because he would deal more with Middleton, who's already announced he's the final word?
Well, it is all how you kind of set things up, right? So the owner here in Baltimore, if the manager called him, which he didn't do a ton, but he did on occasion. The owner picked up the phone. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but there's structure. He structured it differently. He structured it that the manager and general manager had similar powers, which, from my opinion and observations over the years, that just doesn't work. There's usually a hierarchy. The manager reports to the general manager. So, to me, that was destined to fail at some point. They had tremendous success, the two of them together, in postseason. They didn't get up to a World Series, but. You know, so it really depends on how they set it up. I think Buck would be a good fit if there is the structure. Listen, he reports to Klintak and McPhail. Then that's, you know, that's the normal structure, the right structure. If you're going to have him bypass the front office and go right to the ownership, that, in my opinion, very, very rarely works.
Wow. All right. Now, we're all on board with Girardi. We kind of feel the same way you do, Jim.
Yeah.
But we're concerned that if it came down to the Mets or the Phillies, Joe would want to stay in New York.
Right.
Do you think they have an advantage because of that?
They might have a slight advantage. You know, he lives there in New York. His family is in school in New York. You know, there's some, I don't know if you saw the recent report there that, again, this is just, this time of the year, rumors are running worse than they are around the trade deadline, but the rumor was that he is not going to be the final candidate with the Mets. I don't know that to be true. I think he's still in the mix there. But I think if he was offered a job, he wants to get back in. It's clear. I don't think, you know, if it was Mets versus Phillies, he might take New York. But I don't know if he's going to be presented that opportunity. I think he's going to end up having just one shot, whether it's Philly or the Mets. And I think he'll be the manager of one of those places.
I got a philosophical GM question. Then I'm going to want your prediction on who you think we end up with.
Okay.
But, Jim, we had a situation with the Eagles this week where they have a desperate need at the cornerback position.
Right.
But they had to pay a prohibitive price, an outrageous price. I'm sure you must have encountered that as a GM where you needed another starting pitcher. You needed a great bullpen guy. When do you do it? When do you overpay, even though you know you're overpaying?
You know, that's a tough call because, you know, if it's – here's the thing. Any opposing general manager is going to hold your feet to the fire knowing that you have a, a huge opening, like a starting pitcher or, in that case, a cornerback. I always feel like there's only a limit. For, you know, just you have to draw a line at some point what you're willing to overpay, because you know there's going to be an overpay. And oddly, at least in baseball, there always tends to be another option. Maybe it's not as good PR-wise as it seems at that moment, but a little bit later in the season, there's something that happens that you're able to do that that ends up filling the need. So, you know, it's very difficult though. I that was one area, Angelo, that I was not good at. If we had a need, I tended to just, you know what, I don't care what the overpay is. We need the guy, and let's just do it. And that was not what you know. But you better have a pretty good organization surrounding him, you know, in the minor leagues. So I didn't care that much about minor league prospects. I just did it, and sometimes it would work, and sometimes it didn't.
No, now I officially are offering you that GM job. That's our philosophy, 100%. Two quick predictions, all right, Jim. First of all, who do you think ends up here?
I really think it's going to be Girardi at the end of the day,
great.
And
that'll
I go back
awesome.
To. When I was right at the last year, my Orioles tenure, Andy McPhail was here as well. He came in and took over for me, and we had a manager opening, and he tried to get Joe Girardi back then, and it didn't work out. He had some kind of family issue. I think there might have been he wasn't able to pay him what Joe was looking for, but I always remembered that. I always remembered that one. That conversation and how much he liked him and how Joe Girardi could have been the Baltimore Orioles manager. Of course, they waited until the following year and a half later and then hired Buck. But that caught my attention when I saw his name. I wasn't surprised to see his name in the mix there for the Phillies. I think at the end, it ends up being Joe.
And I know that you were wondering what my reaction was the day after Gabe Kapler was fired.
Yes. I really was.
Right. Jimmy, it was pure jubilation. Jubilation.
Yeah.
So I'm asking you now.
Yeah.
There is actually a video out. Do we actually have the audio
it's
of that?
Cringeworthy, Jim.
Is it really? Okay.
I found out when I was outside a rehab center in Center City, Philadelphia,
yeah.
Jim, and I made a fool of myself. But we don't have. It was bad. But let me just ask you this.
Yeah.
Is Gabe Kapler getting another job as a manager in the Major League Baseball?
I would be surprised if he gets another job. You know, that to me kind of it's telling in itself, right? That I know he's being interviewed for potential jobs, but I think mostly those are information sessions, right? So he's an opposing manager. You want to get as much info as you can out of him. You know, hey, you saw our club. What do you think of it? You know, teams look at that in that perspective. I would be surprised, though, at the end of the day that he gets another managing gig.
That's encouraging to hear. Jim, this was my spontaneous reaction to the news 2 weeks ago, or last week.
He's gone! Our prayers are answered! Thank you, God! Thank you!
It's legitimate. Jim, I love you, man. You're awesome. Thank you so much, Jim.
All right, Angel. Thanks.
The great
Bye.
Jim Duquette. And that was my reaction. And now I am not shirking from it.
Remains embarrassing.
That was true. It was real. It was me.
It's outside of a place. That
I know.
People think they just got the news that somebody died.
It's unbelievable.
And
that was only a week ago.
Yeah.
It seems like much longer
than
that.
Well, it does, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the news conference would seem like it went for 5 hours.
No, right? The news conference slowed all of our lives down. All right. On the line with us is my brother. I can find out now about this homie thing. Big Rube's here. Hi, Big Rube.
How?
Big Rube. Dusty Baker called Rhys Hoskins his homie. Am I your homie?
Yeah, we known each other, 17 years?
Hello. yes, so we're homie. It doesn't have any correspondence with where you grew up, the way Al said. It's just a very good friend.
Yeah.
All right, but nobody's explaining to me how Dusty Baker knows Rhys Hoskins.
Look, who's the guy at ESPN that went to Temple?
Oh, Kevin Nagandi?
Okay, now if you go work for them, you're his homie.
Okay.
Because you come from this
here.
Area.
Yeah.
I don't know. Al is not that good on homie stuff, Rip.
No, that ain't no homie. Y'all got to develop a relationship.
Yeah. You got to be tight and friendly. All right, Big Rube, help me out here. What are you feeling for the Eagles-Cowboys on Sunday?
Like all y'all said, and I'm going to echo again, if the chick Cooper don't play, I think y'all win automatically.
Cooper. It comes down to Cooper.
on not that much pressure on your secondary.
You know, I think you're right. We're going to make provisional picks out based on Cooper.
Yeah.
If Cooper is there, we lose. If Cooper is not there, we win. Because we have no one to cover
That's
Cooper.
That's pretty much all
if
I feel.
Really? If Cooper's in the room looking at video.
Yeah.
Do you not think he's
begging them to let him play?
He wants to play.
I'm on crutches, Al.
Didn't he get three touchdowns against them last year in one game?
Al, he could be out, Rhea's right, with like a cane.
Yes.
And still beat Sidney Jones.
Yes.
He could beat him
He'll
with a
cane. He'll be singing that song.
Sidney Jones. Did you hear that song, Big Rube?
Oh, man, yo. And I was surprised Ray didn't just say he didn't like the original Billy Paul. I'm like, yo, that's a classic all time. I was in Europe listening to that song.
It's a great, great song. All right, Big Rube, I need chicken now.
Yeah, so game time tomorrow for college football. I'm at Garage Fishtown, but especially game time, 8:30 Sunday. Come see me at Garage Fishtown. Got my fried chicken, got my cheesesteak, my fried chicken sandwich, and more. So come, let's watch the Eagles beat up on Dallas and come grub with me.
And ask Rube about his chocolate chip cookies because they're
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.